Hello, and welcome to the .NET Community Stand-Up. As you notice, I'm not Kendra. My name is Andrew Hall. I work on the Roslyn team. We contribute pretty heavily to productivity tools that go into Visual Studio. And we have with us today Cody and Matthew. I'm going to actually let Cody run most of this because I'm pretty new to this and he knows what's going on.
Cool, and that might be a stretch, but
You probably know at least a little bit more than
I can. At least pretend like I know what's going on.
Yeah, fake it till you
Yeah, it. Welcome to the live stream, everybody. Today we have a very special guest, Matthew, who if you're a Xamarin developer, you probably know his product. It's called Mfractor. We'll be getting into that and a little bit of more details of what Mfractor does for the community and where it's going next, and also a little bit of information about how you can contribute to the .NET community and what types of tools are out there to help you there. So, but first we have to do the news and go over what the new releases are over the past few weeks. So I'm going to share here. Actually, first, it's Matthew. Sorry, I should have done this earlier. Matthew, do you want to introduce yourself? Tell everybody hello.
Yeah, sure thing. So hello everyone. For those of you who aren't familiar with me and my product, I'm Matthew Robbins. I build a product called Mfractor. It's a productivity tool for Visual Studio for Mac, and hopefully soon to be Visual Studio for Windows. And our whole focus is on improving the Xamarin development experience, so streamlining the process of making Xamarin apps, and just making it a lot easier for you, basically. Been doing this for a couple of years. I started the product back in 2015. We've been a paid product for about 2 years and just slowly chipping away and growing. It's going well.
Yeah, and it's a massive aspect of the Xamarin ecosystem and a huge benefit for a lot of our developers. So I can't wait to show those of you who might not be familiar with it what it is, and those who are familiar with it where Matthew's taking it. So, but yeah, thank you, Matthew. And Andrew, is there anything that you wanted to add about your focuses, responsibilities, what you're working on? Yeah.
So I'm a dev, so you'll see a lot of my commits on GitHub. Since we work in Roslyn, we get to work pretty much in the open space. It's really cool. I recently did some of the work to do file rename when you rename classes and stuff like that using the inline rename tool. So we have some pretty good experiences there. I added some stuff to extract interface in the past. I'm actually pretty new to the team. I've joined in like November timeframe, so I don't have a lot of contribution yet, but I'm getting there.
No, you're still there. People use your stuff. That's one of the things that I think is awesome is when people use our stuff, or any developer, when you know people are benefiting from the work you do. That's always a fun feeling. So I think that kind of goes for anybody in any industry, but I think in the context of our role.
Yeah, and working in productivity is really cool because you add like. You think a lot about just like little checkboxes and stuff that kind of streamline the whole thing. And you spend so much time thinking about it. At the end of the day, somebody just kind of says it works and you're like, huh, that's a lot of what I want to hear. Like when people just barely notice my features, they're just like, it's magical.
Yeah, exactly. It's what's in the future. When you've done something right, but won't be sure you've done anything at all. Like it just works better, faster. That's the kind of the goal here. Perfect. So, let's get started. Let's go through the news. I'm going to share my screen here. And there's my trash. You don't really need to see that. But here we go. Great. So first, let's go through the Visual Studio for Mac news. So we've done two releases of VS for Mac in the past week. We released the final version of 8.1, or the stable version of 8.1, which is the version which has our new editor on by default. So you've probably heard me going on about this new editor quite a bit over the past few weeks. And the new editor introduces a ton of great capabilities to VS for Mac and really brings us into a good position. It is the same editor as VS Windows, really, if you think about it. So the core is the same, and it's just a different user interface built on top of it. So a lot of the fixes that Andrew was mentioning, some of the stuff that he's working on, those get directly fed back into both editors. They go on to the VS for Mac and the VS Windows editor. So having this shared ecosystem is a huge productivity improvement for both ourselves making the product and also members of the community who are using and improving the product as well. So to look at the new features again, We now have snippets enabled, so you can see the GIF that's going on there in the background. We do have support for all the different snippets that you might be used to if you use Visual Studio for Mac in the past. So just tab, and you get these great little code hints. We also support adding custom snippets. So if you've written some snippets that you like to do, like a lot of times, you know, I've written snippets that have been specific database connection strings or whatnot they don't want to remember constantly, just tab, select it, and you're good to go. Huge time saver. We also have inline light bulbs now. So instead of having to go all the way to the margin, you can now just click the quick fix and have it assigned. And that's the kind of stuff that Andrew's team, you know, those quick fixes and whatnot, those are, yeah. Do you remember use compound assignment? That's
this my actually, God, yes.
That's a good one. This is the test project that I stole, borrowed from Kendra that provides all these different like test scenarios. So it's huge.
Yeah, it's great because I can't even keep up with a lot of the features that our team ships. Like we're actually a pretty sizable team for what we do, I think. And so there's a lot of features that come in, and I hear about them a lot through Kendra, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, no, I try to keep this project updated. I have a Mac version, but you know that changes the keyboard shortcuts and whatnot, and I try to keep it updated. But there's so many new quick fixes and improvements that are coming out all the time. It's kind of hard to keep it all updated.
Yeah, and it is crazy. Like, just to highlight a little bit with the new editor, that's actually one of the biggest things I was hearing about for Visual Studio for Mac. Because that once that editor experience kind of gets a bit shared, yeah, all the stuff that I've been working on and my team is just lighting up, and it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Like, there was one. I think I mentioned this on a previous standup that when I was talking, you know, we were talking about the product roadmap and what we're working on, and like in the back of my mind, I knew the whole plan, of course, was that once we merge these editor cores, that these are just gonna light up magically. But I hadn't seen it yet, and so I was like, oh yeah, I'm sure this is gonna work, and then the sense of relief when I saw that, you know, we finally got it in the product and all these quick fixes were suddenly working, it was amazing. So to get this out there is huge.
Yeah. The way I knew actually was once it was enabled and like went public, I started getting a lot of bugs for VS for Mac. I was like, huh, that's awesome. I didn't know that was even a thing.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. So the other big change that we have in 8.1 is now we have side-by-side editing of your Android layout files. So if you want to write AXML, the Android XML language, or you want to do a visual designer, you can see the changes you write in the layout editor reflected right in the designer. So you can iterate a lot quicker within your Android app development cycle than you could previously. We had to switch between both contexts. I'm one of those developers who has to change different like widths and stuff over and over again because I can't visualize what the actual value will be. So this is great for me. I can just guess and check as I'm developing. So that's a fun little improvement. And it is actually, speaking of, this is a preview of more of what's to come. And that leads me to the 8.2 preview, which the 8.2 preview is available on the preview channel. So if you go into Visual Studio for Mac, check for updates, you can change the preview channel to preview. And you can get a look at what we have coming on. But what we have here is the XAML editor. So if you do any XAML writing of XAML, AXML, any of those similar languages, that is now using the new editor as well. Previously that, you know, in the 8.1 version, that's using the old editor and C#'s in the new editor. Well, once we get to 8.2, both XAML and C# move in the new editor. But in addition to just the nice improvements of the new editor, like performance and native input support, we also now have connected to the XAML language service, so we have a much improved searching, much improved IntelliSense. So we can, as you can see in this GIF, we have static resource IntelliSense, so you're able to, you know, auto expand to different resources you have defined within your XAML project. We also have fuzzy searching, so if you don't have to get the exact spelling correct or the exact casing correct, if you're trying to remember a XAML command, you only know it has the word layout in it, but you don't know the stack part. You set a type layout and you'll get a list of different matching things there. So this is kind of the, as you can see here, this is kind of the stuff that we have. And this GIF kind of shows a little bit of that. You know, I made some typos in this GIF that were on purpose to show that, you know, you get able to still access the commands. And finally, a preview of C# 8. So C# 8 and .NET Core 3, the next iteration, next evolution of C# and .NET. We now support that in the VS for Mac 8.2 preview. So you can use a bunch of different cool C# 8 features. We have those documented as well. So for example, you can use, you do using on a declaration here. So it's kind of a fun thing. Hopping over to Visual Studio 2019 on Windows, we have now support for the Microsoft Edge Insider support. So you're able to debug JavaScript files and whatnot within Microsoft Edge Insider. So that is, and this is, of course, the browser I'm using right now for this presentation. It's pretty amazing. We have updates to the installer and .NET productivity improvements. And Andrew is here. He can tell us a bit more about these improvements. I think there's one in particular that you wanted to speak on about switch statements.
So with the new C# 8 switch expressions, you can do expression statements for switch. It's kind of like, I don't know. I really actually like this feature. As soon as we got it, I started writing everything like this. So we added a refactoring tool to allow you to just automatically swap between switch expressions and the normal switch statements, because the actual layout is a little bit different. And this was, I always love stuff like this because this was actually from a community member, so this wasn't anybody on our team. We went through and reviewed it. It was just done wholeheartedly from somebody who just really wanted it done. And yeah, actually, you have the pull request up now, so you can see
that. Yeah, exactly. Alireza Habibi committed this on in December, and it's gone through the process. And it's you know, we love to have any situation where we can highlight some community improvements. So anything, you know, out there that makes your life easier, that you could see an improvement within Roslyn or within .NET at all. You know, we do look through. I think I can speak for you too, Andrew, that we do look through these and we do consider them and we do hope to improve our product based on these types of commits. So thank you, Mr. Habibi, for committing this to our product and letting us improve our product through your hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, just to reiterate, like stuff like this, I always love when you know, I see community contributions and I have time to go through and help, or a lot of community members just kind of do it on their own and figure things out really quickly, which is amazing. And we just kind of help facilitate getting it in the product form.
Yeah, and this is so, as you said, this you know, now that we're all in the shared code base as well, these types of improvements will make their way into Visual Studio for Mac too. So you really have the opportunity to impact and help a lot of community members by, you know, helping us out in this open source world. So if you have anything that you think would make your life easier, you know, pop it onto our GitHub or add an issue onto our GitHub, and we'll see if we can improve the product together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are there any other things you want to highlight in the version 6.2 preview 2 release notes?
I don't think there was anything immediately. Let me scroll through again. No, I think that's pretty much it. Like, it's a nice preview. You know, I think 16.2 has been a lot of like good small things coming in, so each preview gets like incremental bits. I feel like 16.1 had a lot of stuff that came in at once, and we have a lot of good stuff planned for 16.3, but 16.2 seems nice and stable for me, at least.
Yeah, it's the, you know, the big release, then the first release is getting everything back in order, and then you start getting some of the new features in there too. It's always a good kind of march towards new features.
Yeah.
So we also updated our roadmap for Visual Studio for Mac. So we have what we're working on, what my life will be for the next few months on Visual Studio for Mac. So you can see we have a lot of the stuff that's in preview right now for the 8.2 version. We can go down to 8.3 and see some of the stuff that we're working on, including a C# 8 language support for stable. The big one here is the port of the web editors from Visual Studio on Windows. So if you are an ASP.NET Core developer or web developer, you're going to have access to the latest and greatest editor capabilities for those projects as well. So HTML, CSS, JavaScript, all the language services that go along with that. So you get better classification, IntelliSense, and performance improvements. It's going to really change the way that web developers are using the product. So we're pretty excited about that coming out. Stay tuned for a preview of that in the coming months. And 8.3 is our goal for having that completed. And we'll, of course, keep everybody updated on blogs and in these videos and whatnot, too, so we can start maybe showing off some of the previews prior to release and give you guys a sneak peek of what's to come. So I think that does it for the news. If there are any questions in the chat channels, let me check here. Ben loves Infractor. Thank you, Ben. I'm sure Matthew likes to hear that, too. And James is questioning whether or not my on-purpose typos really on purpose, which they were. We all know that I'm a perfect typist, that I never make a mistake. And with that, I'm going to toss it over to Matthew if you want to share your screen and show us a little bit of what you have going on in Infractor.
I sure will. Let me find my way around this. Press that button, I press that button, and then we have a screen share.
Right.
Perfect. Looks great.
Cool. So I guess I'll dig into just a couple of the things that we offer. Infractor is a pretty big product nowadays. We have like 76 code analysis items from last count, like just for XAML, like asset management tooling for fonts and images, lots of IntelliSense integration, a couple of dozen code actions. It's fairly large, so I'm not going to be able to cover it all, but I will cover some of the most useful things. So some of the things that our customers really, really love about the product, and some of the stuff that we're prioritizing for the ports of Windows. So I guess, like, first and foremost, Infractor is a Xamarin productivity tool. We tend to specifically focus on the Xamarin Forms problems. So for example, if you're using Visual Studio for Mac 8.1, we have lots of different IntelliSense integrations. One of those ones that people really, really like, that's really, really popular, is the ability to automatically resolve view models for pages or view models for views. So we have main page and main view model. We took off the page and view model of the naming. We left with main, and we consider that an automatic resolution. And it's really, really cool because now when we're editing, we get a few things. So we get what we call IntelliSense actions. So being able to do some kind of code gen from IntelliSense. So if I clicked on generate new view model property, I could type in, let's say, hello message. And jumping into this, it does code. So it's doing code gen for us. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So we can basically be typing away. So you make basically a whole form layout. You know, of a couple of entries. You could do text equals generate new model property password. Makes the binding expression, automatically creates the code for us as well. So that's one example, some code gen. You also see that as I'm typing here, it's doing suggestions on the binding context properties. So the new XAML editor does support binding context property resolution. We add automatic binding context resolution based on naming convention, which is something if you're using some a framework like Prism or FreshBooterVM, these frameworks do automatic wire up of the page with the view model. So this is a really, really important feature. Another really useful thing is if I misspelt hello message, we have XAML IntelliSense, so XAML analysis for this. So just letting you know that there's no property named hello message with lowercase h. But there is one with the uppercase, and then we can just easily fix that.
That's great. I mean, I think we're not seeing some of the intelligence. There's some connection issues, We definitely saw the update and the detection of the error message. So I think that's a huge time saver too. As much as I said earlier, I'm actually a terrible typist and I make mistakes all the time. So that's handy to have.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think it's happening too fast, so we're just seeing like the results of it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it's fine though. I mean, I think that seeing the results are, the proof is in the results, as they say. Nobody says that.
Yeah. I mean, I know for a fact, like whenever I'm doing any like XAML related stuff, just generating bindings and stuff like that is like the worst part of it. Like that, I always forget what properties I have and everything like that. So this honestly like seems like a huge time saver for everybody.
Yeah, it's quite useful. I mean, it's been built out of my experiences over the years, and I've probably written or been involved in at least 24 XAMRforms code bases. So, like, just for me, this tool has been really hardly battle tested against a lot of real world apps. So, it's come out of that experience of just basically being in the trenches for years. So, we're in the process of porting all of this to the new editor at the moment. And the advantage of that, not just, you know, using modern APIs for Visual Studio for Mac, but all the work that you guys have been doing, so you're basically doing the port for us. Once this is done, we get all of this for free in Visual Studio for Windows. So I'm really reaping the benefits of all your guys' hard work. So thank you for doing everything for me.
Basically. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, that's anytime. What we do it for.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, You mentioned your Windows version. So can you tell us a little bit more about what the plan is there? And
yeah, so I guess some background on what's been happening. I was in Seattle for the MVP Summit back in March, and I had a chance to meet with some of the Visual Studio for Windows team. One of the things that really been holding back us bringing it to Windows, I guess, was just an understanding of how to do it and knowing the APIs, because we're constantly, you know, trying to support our Mac customers, and dropping all that to do Windows I can do all the learning involved in Windows is pretty hard. So we had some one-on-one guidance with the Visual Studio for Windows team, and that's triggered a whole rebuild of the entire product. Well, I wouldn't say a rebuild, more like a refactoring and re-architecting. We've gone from everything being in the Mac product effectively. We have feature assemblies as well. To now, our code base is 86% shared, and roughly 13%, roughly 11% is Mac specific, and 3% is now on Windows. And what's happening is, as we're doing the IntelliSense porting and the new editor support, we should see that shift to about probably 90-95% shared.
That's awesome.
With these very, very thin layers in Mac and Windows. And one of the really, really cool things that I didn't realize before I went over to Seattle to see the team, we could reuse all of our UIs. So we're using a technology called XWT. So if you're working with Xamarin Forms, XWT is kind of the grandfather of Xamarin Forms in some ways. It's a cross-platform framework for building UIs on Mac OS and Windows. It kind of comes out of the same teams that Xamarin Forms came from.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's awesome, because I know that's actually one of the problems we have in like the Roslyn code base. Whenever we do UIs, it's pretty platform specific because we use WPF. So go ahead and start on something cross-platform definitely helps. And it sounds awesome because you get it for free, like on Windows and Mac. That's like,
yeah,
a lifesaver right there.
And nothing else. That's like the power of .NET too, you know? You're able to, I said, your goal is about 95% code share, you said?
Yeah.
And that's it's not a small project. So that is saying something, that, you know, 95% of your code can be shared. And I think that, you know, Andrew just mentioned the WPF aspect, that, you know, everything is so WPF centric on Windows, that was one of the challenges when we started looking on putting the new editor over on Mac, was this fact that the UI was all WPF. But the way that it's architected in such a modular way, we were able to take the core logic out of that and hook it up to Cocoa, which, you know, WPF and Cocoa have no real similarities. They're both UI kits, but they're, you know, pretty different. But we were able to, because of the modularity of it, hook it up and follow the paradigms of each platform as we needed, which is, you know, that's one of the, as I said, the powers of .NET, is that you have this modularity and this portability across platforms. So I'll get off my .NET soapbox there for a second, but
it's pretty amazing. And what I found is once we've made the migration to Math Managed Extensibility Framework, which is the, I guess, like dependency injection framework in Windows, in Visual Studio for Windows, and now Visual Studio for Math. Like, once you start applying solid design principles, like that's all capital solid, you realize just how easy it is to build good software when you have a framework like that. And we can roll out, you know, features really fast now, without, I'm going to say no bugs, but without many bugs.
That's exactly like, I don't know, it's stuff like this that's like the years of hard work that I wasn't even part of at the time, but it, like seeing it all come together is just pretty beautiful.
Yeah. And I've been saying to a few people recently, like, I don't think we were quite realizing just how groundbreaking Roslyn is. So the thought and the R&D that's gone into Roslyn, like it's really this groundbreaking shift, by opening up the compiler and exposing it as an API. It's allowing people like me and lots of other community members to build these really, really powerful products, and tooling. It sets Microsoft up for the next, you know, 20 to 50 years, I feel.
That's great to hear from somebody who's so, you know, involved in the community aspects of it, because that's definitely, you know, at the core of what we're at the .NET core of what we're trying to do. At the core of what we're trying to do is to open up, you know, the world to the community members and to make sure that everybody has access to some of these cool features and these cool APIs that allow you to really extend your product, because, you know, nobody can make a perfect product for everybody. There's always going to be, you know, scenarios where people want to improve it. And I think that, you know, Matthew, as you said, you started out as a Xamarin developer and you saw the need for some of these improvements, right? And then you decided to improve it your own in the best way for you. And that's kind of the origin story, correct?
Yeah, basically. And I could see from like Windows, there's definitely a market for productivity tools.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that's, you know, with that question. Developers do pay for tooling, I guess, despite contrary belief. So it's just kind of grown and expanded from that original idea. A lot of it's just been guided by the community. I found more and more, and all the customer feedback calls I've been doing, image tooling is basically the biggest pain point for mobile developers, it feels like. So we're doing a lot of stuff with that at the moment as well.
Can you show us some of the image tooling stuff you're working on?
I certainly can.
Perfect. That'd be cool.
About to go into that. So there's a couple of things that I guess tend to drive developers mad with working with images. The first one is that you've got all these different mobile devices and they're all these different densities, screen densities. And Android and iOS both have these mechanisms for doing, this is what the image size is on this certain screen. So iOS, it's either image sets or the at 1x, at 2x, at 3x resources. And Android, it's the drawable HDPI, MDPI, XHDPI paradigm. So just like managing and wrangling these images is a huge pain. Because if you want to bring...
I'm a little less familiar with this. So that's just like the same image, just did a bunch of different resolutions to present? Yep. Okay.
Yeah, that's correct. And I'll open up a few John's nose, actually. I can't.
And back before this, you had to, you know, resize these each to be the correct size, and it was a very manual process.
Yeah.
So to kind and of... Then, yeah.
Yeah. And then say... Well, I'll try to open them. I've just opened up the image manager here. So like that's one large one for iOS, and then you would also end up with we're just going to keep opening up John Snow's. So effectively what you need is three different sizes for iOS to represent, you know, say this is an iPad or a Retina device, this is a iPhone SE, or an Apple Watch, and this is a, actually, I don't even think that you really need that One X anymore unless you're supporting very small phones, but you know, managing this and taking it from a designer and putting it into the app is a bit of a pain. And this actually triggered me to build one of those features that people really, really like about mFractor. So if I actually just right click on resources and go add image asset. So we've got this really, really cool tool called the Image Importer. And you can basically...
We cannot see it.
Yeah, are you just, if you're just sharing VS for Mac, you might not be able to see that. So are you sharing your whole screen or just VS for Mac?
Probably just VS for Mac.
You should be able to do, when you click the share tray, this is also Teams training, everybody. There we go. Perfect. Now we can see it.
Oh, there. Beautiful. All right.
Yep. Well, I'll take a bow. yeah. So you know, I'll get rid of one of these image assets. And I'll get into this feature a bit later as well. But I'll just wipe out that whole image asset. That's a very, very useful tool, by the way.
Wait. I totally wasn't even paying attention. Did you just delete like everything for that image, that single image?
Yeah, in one hit.
Oh. Yeah, see, I wasn't even paying attention. It's already gone.
Yeah, and just like for people, like if you haven't done mobile development in the past, that used to be like, you know, open, expand, right click, delete, expand, right click, delete. That's a tongue twister. Which when you have a bunch of little icons and stuff, like a weather app or something, it can be quite time consuming. So,
yeah. It really sucks. So if I want to bring in Jon Snow, I can target him. So I've just gone and picked up my demo resource and gone Jon Snow. I get this nice preview panel of all the different sizes that it will generate. So the different sizes for iOS with the resolution generated downwards, and the same thing with Android. The large one going down to the smallest one using the aspect ratios and scales that are specific for Android. If I want, I can only generate what I need. I can change it to be a mintmap if I need it to be, or a drawable. We're about to add support for image set generation as well. And if I decide that the current image size is too big and it needs to start at 500 pixels, you can just set one size and it will generate from that type size and down. But I'll just give it a reset.
The start out is just one image. I haven't used this yet, and I'm going to now, because this is like one of the most time consuming parts of mobile development. So I'm pretty happy with even watching this demo. It's great.
Yeah, and so now if you look in the left hand panel, we just pay attention to this resources section. I'll click on import. Oh, actually, you know what? I've just realized my tools just saved my ass. It's actually just blocked me from doing it. It won't let me do this because on Android, this is going to cause compilation errors. Basically, the dash and the name of Jon Snow is not going to work. You're not going to be able to use it. So it's actually just stopped me from bringing in an image that's going to cause me another 10 minutes of head scratching and deletion.
Oh yeah, see, if I was new to making stuff for Android, and I absolutely am, I would never have known that. That seems like it's something like deep documented somewhere that you forget about every time.
Yeah. Anyway, and I should have known this because I've got a warning icon, and I wrote this myself, so I should know this.
But I think that speaks to how, we as developers, we can all remember all these little tiny rules, but when you're in the process and you're thinking about how to solve some error in your program, you're not necessarily thinking about all these different small compiler rules. And mostly when you're in a multi-platform, cross-platform environment, it's for me at least, it's hard to remember all these little esoteric, like Android's this, iOS is that, Mac OS is this, Windows is that. So these types of tools are super useful.
Yeah. And the whole thing of this, the purpose of this product is to, you shouldn't have to remember that stuff. like your tooling should, I guess, empower you and help you be a better developer and also teach you about the platform. So like stuff like this, it's just like, I don't know how to describe it, but you shouldn't have to remember this stuff. The tooling should be catching it and preventing you from doing like these mistakes or these restrictions. So, yeah.
I agree. Your job as a software engineer, not necessarily to, you know, remember small rules about platforms, but to think about the logic behind it and the architecture of your program.
Yeah. And like nowadays, I spend most of my time, you know, surfing through GitHub and Stack Overflow to figure things out, not remembering these rules. So anyway, so I can click on this little wand here and it will just fix the name for me. And then it will let me do it. And it'll ask me if I'd like to import another image. I'm going to click no. And you'll see that it's re-added the entry into the image manager. So importantly, this panel on the right is an MPractice feature. So it's a bird's eye view of all the image assets in a project, basically summarized and grouped together. So if you look in the left-hand panel, it's added the three densities for iOS, and it's added all the densities for Android as well. And now, one of the really cool things is if I have the image manager open and I start editing an image source, and I choose, say, Jon Snow, it'll visually scroll through and show me what I'm about to select. So you can basically work side by side here. So you can have Zenlighter open in one, image manager open in the other. And as you're editing images, you can visually see what an image is. You can also search. So in large projects, this has a couple of hundred images. And you can just really easily scroll through and find everything you want.
And it will just show like the one copy of the image. It won't show all the different resizes. You got that in the far right screen. So you don't have a massive list of like icon, you know, 2x, icon 3x, icon 4x. So that,
And so if we did want to remove this image, we have the deletion tool. So you can right click and do actions delete image asset. So this will bring up the image deletion tool. Alternatively, we're introducing a concept at the moment called a workflow assistant. These basically watch for a sequence of actions or some behavior in the IDE. So if I delete johnsnow.jpg and say delete, and then I go and delete another one, another johnsnow.jpg, and it didn't work. That's how demos work, hey?
Curse of the demo.
Live demos. Notice that in the YouTube chat, Ben Buttigieg mentioned that he loves MFractor, especially the font import. I know we're getting a little bit low on time, but do you want to show us some of the font import stuff? I know, you know, just so everybody knows this wasn't rehearsed. I'm just putting him on the spot. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course. So there's a couple of ways of getting to the font tool. I'm going to right click on the solution and do add font asset, so add font. And so we have this lovely window called the font importer. This is a really, really useful tool because on iOS, when you bring a font in, you need to set the bundle resource, you need to add a UI app font entry in the info.plist. Talking about random esoteric pieces of knowledge you have to have, that's one of them. And then it gets even trickier. You have to know the PostScript name of the font, and that's a pain in the ass to find if you've ever had to do this. So you'd have to go into the command line or double-click on the font.
Oh, yeah. I've had to do that before. It's like insane to try to find that information. Even like the thing about stuff like that, even I didn't know what I was trying to look for. Like it's such a small thing and documentation never documents it correctly, and then you have to find out where that is.
Like that, I used to have a snippet of code that was like it would loop through the fonts in the bundle when you run it on iOS, and it would, you know, console.rat line the name of all the fonts, and I'd just grab it from there. So that's like you had to like write a whole thing of code just to do that. So this is a lot easier.
Yeah, and like, and if you think about your time for that, right? Like in terms of a cost to it, you're like to get a font asset in and set it up properly, you're talking like half an hour, which I just, it's just absurd. Anyway,
that's kind of like the like soapbox of productivity tools, right? Where you're like, I don't want to think about this boilerplate stuff. And we figured it out a lot for, I think, some of the really common scenarios. But for like iOS, Android development, Xamarin, stuff like that, like there's still a lot of gap there. And it sounds like Infractor's really kind of filling that, which is great. Like just seeing some of the stuff that I would never have known the headache you have to go through to get all of this done. And you're just like, oh, you don't have to anymore.
Yeah. I think that's, please don't do it. You'll hurt me if you do it manually.
I'll
be here in Australia and I'll physically be in pain.
It is winter there. It'll be sad. It's yeah. One of the old adages that I was told when I first got into software is that, you know, one of the things that defines a software engineer is that you will spend more time making a tool to fix a problem than you will just fixing the problem. But it adds up over the long run. So this is like one of those instances where, you know, each instance of adding a font to your project might take 5 minutes, but 5 minutes times, you know, 100 projects, it adds up. So these types of tools really help in the long run too. They're pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's an XKCD about that too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that was probably where I got it from. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm going to bring a font in, actually, while doing it. So I've just targeted an OTF file, and I'll just make sure that the info.p list is cleaned as well. Per light, per regular. Okay, cool. Just showing you that it actually does what it says it does. Anyway, so you've got a snippet of the XAML that you can then use. Just had some customer feedback that this should be auto-injected into the app.xaml, XAML, which is a completely valid point, and that's something that we'll be doing probably the next week. So you can, you know, target a font, you can just click import. That should have closed. And it will add it into the resources. So just added per regular, and it will also have added it as an info.p list. So magic. And now when we're in XAML IntelliSense, I can open up and I now have font IntelliSense as well. So font assets.
Magic.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, clicking on that is the full usage.
Somebody needs to bring up the magic GIF, you know, the one I'm talking about, where it's like magic.
Oh,
we need
yeah.
that. Yeah, yes, I'm not on screen right now, I don't think, but I'm doing the hand wave right now.
Yeah, I don't have you on screen, but I could do it for you.
There we go. Perfect. Yep.
Yeah, that was funny because this particular feature was brought up by two community members. Actually, Jared Vasalis was one of them, who's now working for XAML Forms, and Stephen. I can never say his last name. You know who you are, Stephen.
Stephen. This is Stephen. Stephen. He doesn't need a last name. He's like
the
Chair.
Stephen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it been something in my mind for a little while. But, you know, sometimes as an engineer, you get into the like, oh, that's too hard. Right. I don't want to do that. It's too hard. And then it's like as soon as I had those two go, how about this? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I know. The challenge has been laid. I can do that, and so it went from, you know, a suggestion on a Thursday night to a prototype being done by, you know, mid afternoon on a Friday, and it was just like fun to see how fast you can turn this stuff around and how much of a difference it can make. I'd say that this is probably one of our most powerful features now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the font importing.
Yeah. Just like
it's a huge time saver.
Workflow problem.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I imagine you're not even explaining all the ins and outs of it just because you don't have to think about it anymore. Like, there's probably more magic it's doing that we're not seeing. But
No, honestly, I mean, it is one of the tried and true, time consuming aspects. And it's also, so like one of the things that I mentioned earlier about .NET that's so powerful is that you are able to do this cross-platform stuff. I have a sneeze coming on. I swear I'm going to sneeze in a second. We have a cross-platform stuff that that you can do without thinking, you know? Like we can, and these types of tools and these types of productivity enhancements, they expand that mindset where, and that capabilities where now you don't have to think about how each font system works between the two operating systems of iOS and Android. It's another, you know, arrow in your quiver to solve these problems on a cross-platform basis without having to remember the platform-specific things. And so each one of those is a huge time saver and a huge feather in the .NET cap. So mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we're getting towards the end, and I want to, you know, give people a chance to ask some questions on the community.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Matthew, if you want to stop sharing your screen, we can get other people's faces.
Oh, that's a lot of me. It's way too many me.
There we go. All right.
You don't need that many Cody's. That's just too much. It's too much. Yeah, so I'm checking the streams here, see if anybody has any questions. Matthew, while we're waiting, Kevin on YouTube says, I'm waiting for an easier way to work with images. Right now, integrating images is not so easy or fun. Which, Kevin, did you see the demo that Matthew gave on the image import? Are you talking about importing images to mobile projects, or are you talking about a different aspect of images? Let's see if he has time to get back to us. And Matthew, while we're waiting for that, do you want to tell folks how they can get Mfractor? Is it just, you know, tell us a little bit about the product?
Yeah. So Mfractor is available in two types. So we have our light tier and our paid tier. So light professional. The light tier is trial. It's basically like an evaluation version. So it's 4 XAML files per day. It's just the XAML IntelliSense and actions and code analysis and tooltips features. If you want the full feature suite, so things like the font importer, the image management tooling, the C# code actions, plus a whole bunch of other tooling. That's $200 per year and per person, which if you think about it, that's less than 1 AUD per day. So if you do the font importing once or twice, plus some image tooling, you basically pay it back in a couple of work usages, so it's probably too cheap actually.
and AUD is the Australian dollar, so and Kevin just got on the stream.
Oh, Kevin, you missed like the important part. You were asking a question about
that's actually the fun part. We're like, oh no, we already, you know, Kevin, we got you. Basically, email Kevin,
I'll give you a demo.
Yeah, hit up Matthew on Twitter. He'll give you a demo. This will be on YouTube and whatnot. Not live again, of course, because that's silly, but it will be recorded. That's the word I was looking for. And you can check out the stuff that we added there. But basically, with Mfractor, you're able to add one image, and it will resize to all the different platform-specific sizes and naming conventions you can manage with an image manager. So it's a lot easier way to manage images in your mobile projects. I said reach out to Matthew on Twitter. What's your Twitter? What's your Twitter?
So my Twitter is Matthew Rdev. So MatthewRdev. The easiest way to contact me is just my email. So Matthew@mfractor.com.
And it's MFRACTOR.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's an interesting story behind that name.
I want to hear it. We have just enough time. Let's hear it. What's the story?
Well, yeah. It's basically a mashup of the words mono and refactor. So that's where it came from. I spent ages trying to think of a product name.
That's the hardest part of this. Like,
smash these words together. Yeah. That's where it came from.
Mono refactor, perfect.
I actually, that's a lot better than calling it mono refactor. I like Mfractor much better. That's just my thing.
No, product naming is the hardest part of anything. So
yeah, it's about the seventh name that I had.
I wonder if there's like, what's the story behind like Roslyn and some of these other. Like Visual Studio makes sense. Like it's a studio, whatever. But
so this is completely speculation. I don't actually know the name story behind Roslyn, but I do know at Microsoft we do a lot of like city naming for projects, because it's just a good way to name projects that's pretty neutral. And I wonder if Roslyn was named after like a city or something, and they just decided to keep it. But I think somebody actually, now that I'm at it, I might have to go ask somebody in the office because they probably do know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a good story about it. Like Mr. Gertz or somebody probably has a good story about that history there. I know there's a lot of products named after pieces of equipment, the cities and whatnot. So if you're familiar for the Pacific Northwest, you kind of see some of the city names and whatnot out there too. It's kind of fun. Yeah, I think Zamorin was it's the tamarin monkey, but with an X in front of it.
Oh, was
so
it?
So you know, it's actually a really cute monkey if you look at tamarin. But
I've got to look at that like right now.
Yeah, like there's mono, which is a Spanish word for monkey, and so just kind of carried on to that. So the naming origins of M-Fractor is also impacted by the naming origins of mono. And I can hear our viewers leaving right now as I'm going on about.
Yeah, they don't want to sit here and watch me look at monkey pictures, but also these things are adorable.
Yeah, can you share your screen? I think we all got to see
it.
Oh, no,
that's a good I didn't hook anything up.
I got it.
Okay.
Tamarin. Let me share my screen here.
We get the important content.
Oh, they're so cute.
This is like the after hours comment stuff.
Yeah.
I think this is the definition of a segue.
Oh, look at that. Look at that guy. Look at that mustache. Yeah. I want to grow that. I can't do that.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous.
All right, so that is where we were probably in. So let me check if there's any other questions on Twitch or anything. Nope, it looks like we're good. So if you have any last-minute questions, you know, pop them in there while I'm saying our goodbyes, and we might be able to fit them in. Otherwise, thank you again for joining us. You know, we'll be here in the next few weeks again on another stand-up on the community toolkits and whatnot. So I want to thank Matthew for joining us. I know it's 3 o'clock in the morning there,
stop.
Or almost 4 o'clock.
Stop.
Is the sun coming up?
Screen so we can see your face.
You don't want to, the monkeys are far cuter. What are you talking
know.
About? All right. So
the tavern monkey is cuter than me.
No, than me. Than me. I don't have that mustache.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, thank you, Matthew. I know it's an ungodly hour for you right now, but I appreciate you joining us. And thank you, Andrew, for joining us as well.
Yeah. Next time, I think Kendra should be back. You won't see me again next time. Probably.
Join us too. Come on.
Oh, you know what? I might actually. I'll talk to Kendra when she gets back.
I know you said there's some cool things coming in 16.3.
Oh yeah, I have a feature coming in, so
come do it. It's fun. Let's do it. Yeah. It'll be great. All right. Thank you again for everybody. And thank you, Robert, for saying thank you. Thank you, Robert, for joining on the YouTube channel. So, all right, everybody, have a great, wonderful Thursday or Friday in Matthew's case. And I hope to see you guys here back next time. Thank you.